All right. Welcome to Mary Craig Ministries and Craig House Christian Fellowship. We are in our series, The Kingdom of God. Today is a teaching sermon, A Time to Thresh in Meekness. The date is March 7, 2021, and I'm Dr. Mary Craig. So let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the body and blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ on our behalf. We thank you, Lord, for his radical life of obedience, and we thank you that he died to pay the penalty for our sin and rose again the third day and sits at the right hand of the majesty on high. We thank you, Lord, that Jesus Christ is King of kings and Lord of lords. We thank you for the sending of the Holy Spirit, and we ask that your Holy Spirit now would open the eyes of our minds to comprehend, to perceive, to understand. And Lord, open the Holy Spirit to open our hearts to receive what you have for us today. We thank you and ask the Holy Spirit to come as the Spirit of truth to guide us into the truth of your word and as the Spirit of wisdom and revelation to reveal Jesus Christ to us and to grant us wisdom and discernment in our time. And so, Lord, we pray that we be renewed in the spirit of our minds and put on the new man, which was created according to you, Lord God, in true righteousness and holiness, that you, Lord God, would sanctify us by your word and by your spirit, that we may open our mouths boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel of Jesus Christ with love, compassion, and grace, that we might love with faith from God the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I want to share what I received February 20, 2021 at home and what I believe is from the Lord. It will not be much longer, for now it springs forth. Now it begins, a new thing. Consider the enemy defeated, for he is defeated. You shall see signs, glimmers, small at first, here, there. I will cause hope to rise up. I will cause light to shine into the darkness. I will raise up one and down another. Whereas it has been a man here, a woman there, I will multiply their mantles on many, just as Christ died, and it appeared all hope of fulfillment died with his death. And yet he rose the third day, ascended into heaven, and sent with the Father the Holy Spirit, indwelling a countless number of people from every race, tribe, ethnic group, class, society, and economic group. So also I am raising up the young, the children. I am multiplying the voices of courage, confession, agreement with the word of God, and commitment. These will not compromise, not be complacent, nor shrink back in fear, nor swallow the lies of corruption. These will be called with my word as a fire in their bones. They will be compelled, constrained to preach the gospel, to know and preserve truth, to promote true justice, to exercise mercy with compassion. I will fortify them, keep them, and protect them. Psalm 120, Jeremiah chapter 20. And from Jeremiah 20, verse 9, if I say I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, there is in my heart, as it were, a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I am weary with holding it in, and I cannot. Nothing will stop me. I will do it for my name's sake. Vengeance is mine, and I will repay. If my people want to be blessed, they must bless. If they want mercy, they must give mercy. If they want to discern good from evil, they need to understand that good is what I say is good, and evil is what I say is evil. It is as I say in my word. My word is truth. The devil wears a mask, the mask of hypocrisy. He counterfeits by saying that what he says is true and good is true and good. He is a liar, a murderer from the beginning, a thief, with bold claims of a no-God. He is darkness. I am light. Men will not come to the light because their deeds are evil. John 3:16 and following. From John 8, verse 44, you are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Isaiah chapter 40 through 48. Be strong, I am coming soon. I am purging the threshing floor. Matthew 3, verse 12, and Jeremiah 51, 33. Jeremiah 51, 33 says, for thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, the daughter of Babylon is like a threshing floor at the time it is stamped firm. Yet in a little while, the time of harvest will come for her. And Matthew 3, verses 10 to 12. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which brings not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that comes after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. That's John the Baptist speaking in Matthew 3, verses 10 to 12. Nothing is wasted in my kingdom. I am raising up men of meekness. The devil understands meekness. He sees it in action in Christ, but his pride will not allow him to acknowledge the power of meekness, that I am the defender. I am your defense. Psalm 94, Psalm 5. Psalm 62, 6 through 8 says, he only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Psalm 62, verses 6 through 8. Pride leads to destruction. The children of pride will bring about their own destruction. They will puff up in pride, and they will be destroyed. This is a time to thresh in meekness. The just, those justified in Christ, the just shall live by faith. And that's the end of the word that I received. Well, we could pick up on many things covered in this word. I want us to think about threshing and the threshing floor. The threshing floor. A threshing floor was round, large, open, with a hard surface, usually located outside the city. They were located at high, windy places, not mountain peaks, but in highlands or in the hill country. Grain grew in the valleys below, but threshing floors were higher up. Bundles of stalks would be laid on the surface of the floor. Dried plants needed to be broken up, tread upon. A wooden board was used. It had holes in it and rocks inside the holes. The word in Greek means anguish, persecution, trouble. In Latin, it is tribula or tribulum. Oxen were used if someone could afford it. The grain kernels had to be separated from the chaff in a process called winnowing. The wind would separate the heavier kernels from the chaff as the grain was tossed into the air. Grain was also sifted or sieved, S-I-E-V-E-D, Isaiah 30, verse 28, Amos 9, verse 9, Luke 22, verse 31. For example, Simon would be Peter, the rock, but Satan demanded to sift him like wheat, a process that would counter Peter's prideful "I will" statements, his boasting and great swelling words, by getting little rocks out of his heart. Ways of threshing included beating, as in Ruth 2, verse 17, by treading, Deuteronomy 25, verse 4, Isaiah 25, verse 10, Hosea 10, verse 11, 1 Corinthians 9, verse 9, 1 Timothy 5, verse 18. Another way of threshing was with instruments of wood. 2 Samuel 24, verse 22. Instruments of iron. Amos 1, verse 3. With a cartwheel, as in Isaiah 28, verses 27 and 28. Floors were used for threshing. Genesis 50, verses 10 and 11. Judges 6, verse 37. Ruth 3, verses 2 to 14, 1 Samuel 23, verse 1, 2 Samuel 6, verse 6, Hosea 9, verse 2, Joel 2, verse 24. And then there was the floor of Araunah, purchased by David for a place of sacrifice, 2 Samuel 24, verses 16 to 25. And I got that from BibleHistory.com. And the link will be in the written version of this. Manners and customs. Manners and customs. And with a code word there, threshing. Okay. The link will be in the printed version, which will be able to be found on the homepage of MaryCraig.org. And, you know, you can look that up there. And for a little while, the article will be up there and also the recording. And the recording will also be at www.mcmtffr.org. And those from the TFFR website go on to Podbean. So they're mobile friendly and all kinds of friendly. Okay, so let's go on. The threshing floor, a place of mourning, M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G. In Genesis 50, verses 10 and 11, we find this early reference to the threshing floor of Atad, where Joseph made a mourning for his father with a very great and grievous lamentation. Here's the quote. When they came to the threshing floor of Atad, which is beyond the Jordan, they lamented there with a very great and grievous lamentation. And he made a mourning for his father 7 days. When the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites, saw the mourning on the threshing floor of Atad, they said, "This is a grievous mourning by the Egyptians." Therefore, the place was named Abel Mizraim. It is beyond the Jordan. And that's Genesis 50, verses 10, 11, which might be the first reference in the Bible. I'm not positive totally, but it might be the first reference to the threshing floor. The threshing floor, a place to express a desire to be redeemed. Notice that after the harvest was gathered, the harvest produce was brought to the threshing floor. In Ruth, the method of threshing was by beating. We see redemption in the story of Ruth and Boaz. Women then needed to be connected in some way to a covenant man. It was difficult for a woman to survive on her own, but But the law in Leviticus 25, verse 25, allowed for a kinsman redeemer, by which a woman could be redeemed by her husband's nearest kinsman, Ruth 2, verse 20. Naomi, Ruth's mother-in-law, encouraged Ruth to go down to the threshing floor. It was the time of the barley harvest, and Boaz was involved in the winnowing of the barley. With winnowing, the grain is separated from the chaff. When Boaz finished eating and drinking and was lying down for the night, Ruth, according to Naomi's instructions, went, uncovered the feet of Boaz, and laid down at his feet. This was to express her desire to be redeemed by Boaz, and it's in Ruth chapter 3. Ruth, a converted Gentile, symbolizes the believer seeing her need for a redeemer. Boaz becomes that redeemer for Ruth, symbolizing Jesus Christ, who is our kinsman redeemer. And you can read more about this topic in Romans 1, verse 17, Romans 3, verses 22 and 24, Hebrews 2, 11 to 15. Times and seasons. Threshing floors were used to determine times and seasons. A center post would be placed, much like a sundial, for that purpose. In all the process of threshing, separating, sorting, and sifting, or what some call seething, S-I-E-V-I-N-G, it could not rain. It could not rain. Leviticus 26, verses 3 to 5. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and your threshing shall reach unto the vintage, and the vintage shall reach unto the sowing time. And you shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land safely. Leviticus 26, verses 3 to 5. A busy threshing floor. A busy threshing floor was a symbol of a plentiful harvest. A bare threshing floor, B-A-R-E, indicated famine and perhaps God's judgment. Joel 2, verse 24, speaks of that abundance as a sign of God's blessing. If the people repent, the threshing floors will be filled with grain. The vats will overflow with new wine and olive oil. And in 2 Kings 6, verse 27, the king in Israel laments that he is helpless to supply food to his starving people. If the Lord doesn't help you, how can I help you? I cannot give you something from the threshing floor or the wine press. So he is using the presence of food as a symbol of God's providential care. Threshing and judgment. This is coming from compellingtruth.org on the threshing floor. The threshing floor is symbolic of judgment in the Bible. Old Testament prophet Hosea prophesied that Israel would be, quote, like the morning mist or like the dew that goes early away, like the chaff that swirls from the threshing floor, or like smoke from a window, unquote. That's Hosea 13, verse 3. Of the nations who will come against God during the end times, the prophet Micah says, they do not know the thoughts of the Lord. They do not understand his plan, that he has gathered them as sheaves to the threshing floor. The idea here is that Israel will demolish their enemies like oxen trampling grain on the threshing floor. Micah 4, verses 11 to 13. Chaff is referred to in the Psalms as a symbol of the destruction of the wicked, Psalm 1, verse 4, as an example. Also, John the Baptist referred to Jesus as the one who would separate the good grain from the chaff with a winnowing fork or winnowing fan, gathering the grain into his barn and burning the chaff with unquenchable fire. That's from Matthew 3, verse 12. This is a symbol of heaven and hell. Threshing and the nations. The Old Testament includes a number of instances where threshing is specifically used to describe the results of conflict between nations, sometimes carrying out the ultimate judgment of God. Isaiah 21:10 says, "You, my people, have been threshed and winnowed. I will make known to you what I heard from the Lord of armies, the God of Israel." As the prophet describes in symbolic terms the fall of Babylon. And Amos 1:3 anticipates God's retribution against Syria. This is what the Lord says, because Damascus has committed the three crimes and now a fourth crime, I will not change my plans. The Arameans have crushed the people of Gilead with iron-spiked threshing sledges. Those who cruelly treat others will themselves be judged harshly. And that is from Jesus' Way for You, Signs and Symbols of the Bible Threshing Floor. So, in closing, I want to mention this. Let us go to the threshing floor and thresh in meekness. And we're going to be looking at this more all through before we get to Easter. Look at the proud one, the one who is puffed up, whose soul and desires are not upright in him, who trusts in himself and whose life is crooked, whose ego is inflated, who is without integrity, who is presumptuous. But the righteous one, the just one, shall live by his faith. That is Habakkuk 2, verse 4, expanded. To which we say, amen. And let's pray. Holy Father, we come to you confessing our prideful ways. Those times when we have been puffed up, when our souls and desires have not been upright within us, when we have trusted in ourselves, when our lives have been crooked and in need of you making crooked places straight, when our ego has been inflated, when we have not walked in integrity, when we have been presumptuous, we ask you to forgive us and confess that the only ground on which you forgive is that of the atoning work of Jesus Christ, whom you sent. We thank you for the body and blood sacrifice of Christ on behalf of those for whom he died. We thank you for his radical life of obedience, even to the death on the cross. We thank you for his humility, that he came as one meek and lowly, not setting aside his divinity, but condescending to our lowliness and bearing our humiliation in our stead, in our place. We thank you for his voluntary substitutionary atonement. And you highly exalted him to your right hand, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Holy Father, grant us repentance, we ask, and grant that we may be filled with the Holy Spirit, that we might walk in love, walk in wisdom, walk in holiness, and walk in humility. We ask that you shine your countenance upon us, that we might be healed, saved, and delivered. You are our praise, and we bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.